Hello there, and welcome back to another episode of Fact, Fiction, or Bullshit. Or for all my new listeners out there, the FFB podcast for short. Hi, my name is PJ, and every episode we'll delve into the unknown to look at the history, the facts, the theories, and conspiracies, then ultimately decide fact, fiction, or bullshit. Halloween has just recently passed, but I find myself going back into the world of the supernatural once again. And there is a reason why. As you ladies, gents and people know, when I find out about anything UK based, I just have to delve into it. I've often asked this question before and on this podcast, how haunted would your house have to be before you was either A, to move out, or B, call for help? I hope you people never have to make that decision, because for the life of me, ladies, gents and people, I would not even know who to call or who to go to. But for one family, something happened to them that was so horrific that they were now at the end of their tether and they just had to call for help. As I've said before in this podcast, there are certain things you don't do, even if you're not a believer. And in this case, they probably made the biggest mistake you could. If you don't know already, we're going to be talking about Tracy and Kieran Fry and their supposed possessed house. Could this house really have been haunted? Could this lady really have been assaulted by a demon or a poltergeist? Or is this just the biggest hoax out there? Join me as we go into the supernatural world again. So, where to begin? Let's start at the beginning. In July of 2013, Tracy and Kieran Fry, along with their three children, moved into a new home in New Tredegar in South Wales. All was calm at the beginning, but that would change on Halloween of 2014. Were they done something they probably should not have done? Like I said, it was Halloween and they decided to make it a proper Halloween, if you know what I mean. But it's the way they done it that bothers me. They, as a family, all decided to use a Ouija board. The mum, the dad, and their three young sons. I can only estimate at the age of their children, but I would guess between 10 to 15 years of age. I need to ask the question though, ladies, gents and people. Why would you risk it? Like I said on my previous episode about Ouija boards, even if you don't believe in the supernatural, you still would not want to poke that bear. I have friends who don't believe in the supernatural, but if you ask them to do a Ouija board, they're like, hell no. And they state the same. Why, might you ask? It's probably because this is the one thing that could bring evil through the board into this earthly realm. So, what happened after they used this Ouija board? Well, precisely what you think would have happened. They left the door open for three demon spirits to haunt and terrorise the family, namely the mum, Tracy. First was your normal poltergeist activity, moving objects, doors opening and closing on their own. But then they turned their attention to Tracy, and she stated that she would go to bed fine, and then wake up the following morning in agony and covered in bruises. She stated that two of the demons would hold her down whilst the incubus demon beat her, and this is why she was covered in bruises. For all those that don't know as well what an incubus is, it's a demon but in a male form who, according to mythological and legendary traditions, targets sleeping people, especially females. Its female counterpart is a succubus. Tracy also said that the more scared she felt, the worse the beatings became. It did not end there for the family either. The family's cats refused to go up to the second floor of the house. They just started staring up the stairs as if something was there. The dad, Kieran, even got a picture of an apparition in his son's bedroom. And this shows a small child in a white gown with a blue face and a towel. I've seen that picture and I'm going to post it on my Instagram for you all to see. You can make of it what you will, people. Things then got worse for the family, if you can imagine that. The children would go to bed and the demon began to appear to the kids throughout the night, whispering from the shadows that it was going to slit the throats of their parents whilst they were asleep. Ladies, gents and people, if that's not enough to tell you to never use a Ouija board in your life, I don't know what is. It was now that the father, Kieran, decided he had to act. They called in paranormal investigator Robert Amor. He arrived at the house with a Bible and a crucifix. He immediately banned the family from going upstairs after telling them he could feel the evilness within the house. He went upstairs to the bedroom and after 20 minutes he returned to the family. He claimed that he had slain two of the demons, but he had struggled to rid them of the third, more powerful incubus demon. And this is when he himself actually called for help. He called Church of Wales vicar, Jonathan Widdes. However, once explained what was happening, the only thing the vicar could do was say a prayer to try and help the family. It stated that this demon still remains in the house today, still terrorising this poor family. This now brings me on to my conclusion. Was this a haunted house possessed by demons? And did these said demons attack and terrorise a mother of three? Fact, fiction, or bullshit? For me, ladies, gents and people, it's all bullshit. And let me explain. It's all he said, she said. No proof apart from one photo. But when you look at it, and when you ladies, gents and people look at it on my Instagram page, in my opinion, it looks just like a doll of some sort. So with no proof, I went after the two people they had claimed that had helped them. Robert Amor. Yes, he is real. But he is not linked to any paranormal societies from what I could see. They say that he was paid to carry out this cleansing. So I went online to have a look to see if I could find him. There were no ads, no web pages or Facebook pages advertising his skills for the world to see. As for the vicar, again, yes, he's a real person. But I very much doubt he would have wanted anything to do with this. And if he did attend the house, a quick prayer is all he could have done. With stuff like this, he would have had to at least follow the chain of command and ask his superior if he could attend. I will say this though, I could not find any evidence on whether he did or did not actually attend the house. For me, ladies, gents and people, this was a massive hoax. This story was in every major tabloid in the UK, which says a lot in my opinion. No follow-up stories, no documentaries, and no YouTube videos of anyone going to or staying at the house. Which in itself is strange, as we all know, this is all the rage in the YouTube community. Maybe the family did not expect it to blow up as much as it did when they told this story. And believe me, ladies, gents and people, it is a story. But it did, and they probably got paid well for their story, because that's all it ever was. Wow, what an episode. I've not done one like that in a while, where I thought hoax from the very beginning of my research. I do want to add this though, ladies, gents and people. Please do not use a Ouija board in your own home. Even though this story was a hoax, for me it just further heightens the fear and the terror that a Ouija board can bring. I just want to say thank you also for the continued love. If you could follow me on Spotify or Apple, that would be amazing. If you like this podcast, share the podcast. Let's help it grow. Ladies, gents and people, look after yourselves and each other. And until next time.